Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with the first episode of the brand new Nothing But Netflix podcast. Very excited to be here with you to talk about whatever is hot and trending and popular on the streaming service known as Netflix. And let me bring in my co-host for this journey, a man who's always trending, the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm good. I'm in a good mood
featured
today.
Yes.
Yeah. Am I always trending though? I don't think so.
Mostly.
I don't want to be trending. I kind of want to be like low key, you know?
You're not doing a great job with that.
I wouldn't say that. Like, I'm no Brian Scully. You know, I'm just out here hanging out, living my life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How are you?
Chappelle, I'm so excited. I feel like that this is a great idea to talk about what's coming up here on Netflix. And we'll talk about here today a series that just went to Netflix that October 1st, you can now find the entire catalog of a little TV show known as Seinfeld, now on Netflix. And today we'll be talking about an episode of Seinfeld, The Hamptons, which you have seen. We're very excited to talk about that here with you today.
Yes. Like, Rob, I feel like this is a like bizarro episode of the Rewind almost, because on the RHAP Rewind, I spent a lot of time like showing you the television shows that I used to watch all the time and like explaining to you this ridiculous twist and turns of reality TV from from your heyday. And now you are going to explain to me something that I almost have no insight into. I've seen a few episodes of Seinfeld, but this is new for me.
Well, I don't know if we're going to so much explain to you, but I would love to get your reactions to an episode of Seinfeld here today. And we have a great guest here with us, a man who I watched all of Seinfeld once upon a time with on the Seinfeld post-show recap, which you can listen to hear a recap of any episode of Seinfeld you want at postshowrecaps.com/Seinfeld iTunes. Here is the host of now 3.5 podcasts. Here he is. It's Akiva Whitaker.
How's it going, my fellow bubble boy?
Yes. Akiva, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be on the first episode of this very new podcast that we sort of, I mean, I think like Rob and I, well, I guess you're technically the co-host also, but I think we get like some sort of creator credit in the if there's credits for a podcast, because I think we did sort of think this up on Renap. So this is like in the greater Robin Akiva Need a Podcast.
The origin story here is that Akiva and I had watched the film He's All That, another big Netflix hit. We got started talking about, hey, you know what else is coming to Netflix? Seinfeld. It's going to be huge. Maybe we should just go back and start watching Seinfeld over and over again. And we talked about that for a little bit. And then in that same podcast, we sort of crystallized it down to like, hey, whatever is on Netflix is going to be huge. Maybe there should be a Nothing But Netflix podcast. And then you pitched that, oh, that should be a vehicle for Chappelle. Chappelle and I were trying to figure out a new thing to do together. And that's the origin story of this podcast.
Now, I want you guys to make me a promise, okay?
Yes.
This is the first episode of what will hopefully be thousands.
Thousands. Okay.
As long as Netflix exists, I feel like this should go on. There will come a time, perhaps it'll be as soon as like 3 weeks from now, where something will be popular on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Or Apple TV. Or people will be like, whatever the new Ted Lasso is, it'll be on Hulu. Probably won't be on Hulu, but you get the idea. And people will be like, just cover that. I need you guys to both commit right now. It's Netflix only. I think if something doesn't come to Netflix, you can't watch it. And you could spend the time, like, people be tweeting at you and being like, guess what? This is coming to Netflix in a few weeks. Great. If something's not on Netflix, I think it is off limits.
This is interesting, Akiva. I mean, when it comes to Renap, you know, you all famously, you know, follow y'all's rules to the T.
Yeah.
But there are some things that y'all have still stuck to, you know, over the course of the last few years.
How about
years.
This? I will be as loyal to that promise as Akiva is loyal to the Renap Constitution.
Do we need a Nothing But Netflix Constitution?
Oh, no. People are already tweeting it. Like, all right, don't mess this up. Akiva, you're messing this up already.
No,
I think it's fun to, like, you're stuck in this bubble.
Yeah.
Like the Bubble Boys.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's Netflix only.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you have to switch it to nothing but streaming, which is a much less interesting name, I think.
Can we come up with a better name for Nothing But Streaming, though? Like, what are you thinking?
Well, let's workshop this. Let's workshop this a little bit as we continue on with Nothing But Netflix. But Akiva, very excited. We had planned this for weeks of like, okay, it's going to be the start of October, and we are going to be going in with Nothing But Netflix with the hottest property on Netflix. The Netflix thing that everybody's going to be talking about. Seinfeld, baby.
Nailed it.
I'm not going to lie. I thought I was being punked on the plane when I heard the Nothing But Netflix pitch, because Akiva, it sounded cool. And then Rob started talking about ending Renap and doing the Bubble Boys. And I was like, oh, okay, this is all a big joke. And then when I heard Seinfeld is how you wanted to pop it off, I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely a big joke. Mm-hmm. There is no way that y'all think this is feasible. But now that I've watched Seinfeld, I'm actually very excited to talk about it. And I'm hoping that Netflix, you know, lets everybody know how great this show is and that now it's available. Because I know people went back and watched like every season of Friends. You could watch 40 seasons of Grey's Anatomy on Netflix. So why not watch Seinfeld? I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I also...
Should we go back, Rob? Should we go back? Like, is this now a Seinfeld podcast? We'll just... Why with Chappelle though? That's the because we were going to do it again, but now we're just going to do it with Chappelle.
Yeah, well, maybe
Chappelle, would you be a look? Would you be a bubble boy, Chappelle? Are you a bubble boy?
I would be a bubble boy. Netflix is our bubble, right? We cannot leave the bubble of Netflix, and entire rewatch of Seinfeld would be within that bubble. I think that's in our constitution, isn't it?
I mean, Chappelle could bring his talents to anything, and any podcast would be lucky to have him. But we're on a new mission here, Akiva. And I didn't think I went. I listened to our recap of the Hamptons from the Seinfeld post show recap. I thought it held up pretty well, actually.
Wow.
Although Chappelle, Akiva and I on the original Seinfeld post show recap got into a little bit of a debate. Akiva really wanted to book Martin Shkreli on the podcast. And I told him no. Yes. And I said that was a bad idea.
Yeah. This episode is one of those where you're like, I mean, what are we going to do with the like sexual misconduct? And so I don't know why you wanted to book Martin Shkreli. Like, could you explain that?
It was an earlier look. This was pre that Shkreli.
Akiva said, hey, any heat is good heat.
No, I didn't.
Is it?
What do you mean it was pre that? Yeah.
It was like before he was raising the prices
on the medicine.
It was just when he was raising the prices.
Holding the Wu-Tang album.
The Wu-Tang thing.
Pre-COVID, who cared about that, the big pharma stuff anyway?
Yeah. Well, we're in the midst of it now. I don't think this is great. I think he's
still behind bars.
Okay, cool. I was like, is he still in the pen?
I do think somehow we could get him on next week if we wanted him. I feel like he's still available.
I mean, what is he doing? 2015, Rob, and we don't need him.
I mean, you seem to have called it because, I mean, he is in the pen currently.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, Akiva would have gotten the scoop before everybody else did.
In fairness, we also pitched like 9 other podcasts that we were going to start doing. I guess that has been the bit for Akiva and myself for these last 7 or 8 years. And
any winners?
No, we were pitching that we were going to do like basically like some version of like Serial, where we're going to investigate Martin Shkreli and how much time he has to do 4-hour Google Hangouts every day.
Ooh, well,
people were doing live Google Hangouts back then. Mm-hmm. It was truly a different time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if we want to do a Serial podcast, it's like type podcast. Now that might have my attention. You know, people love true crime podcasts and things of that nature. We could do the Shkreli deep dive.
Yeah. No, Chappelle, we're here. We're already here on the new podcast. We're talking about Netflix stuff.
Oh, okay. I thought we were working on the title of our Shkreli podcast. What is it? Profiteering and Chill? I think we could do that.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
Should we work chill into the tagline for this podcast?
Well, that would be Netflix and Chill.
Yeah. What about Netflix and Chill? We chill and Netflix.
Chill and Netflix. I don't love it. It's fine. It probably needs a little tweak.
Can I punch up? What about Netflix and chili? And each episode, you guys have to have chili. And the episode ends when you each have to go to the bathroom.
As a Texan, it'd be a long episode. we're big on chili here. I don't know if you've heard.
And I'm also not big on eating on the podcast.
Yeah, no, Rob doesn't like eating on the podcast. Just a warning. I'll give you some tips on how to deal with.
Yeah, give Chappelle the like the primer on.
He doesn't like eating. He doesn't like talking about food.
Are there a lot of podcasts where they encourage the host to eat on the podcast?
Probably not. It's something probably about like snacking in people's ear. Mm-hmm. Do they eat on the Doughboys podcast?
Not really. Not really. I don't think they do. No.
No, there's something about hearing people smacking your ear that can be kind of jarring and disgusting at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I'm like a big ASMR fan, so I wouldn't turn it off. Mm-hmm. I'd probably turn it up, to be quite
frank. Turn it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I also have another pitch for you guys, because, you know, you're going to get into how you're going to.
Is it a pitch for another Netflix episode to watch next week?
Basically, yes. It's more of a general idea. So you guys are going to have to debate every week what to watch. And, you know, some weeks maybe you'll say on the show, and some weeks it'll be a surprise to the listeners. And that's fun. I think if there's a week where there's nothing obvious to watch and you just can't come up with something, then I think you could hit Netflix as a random button. You hit the random button and that's what you watch the next week. What do you think about that?
It does have a random button. It does have a random button recently.
Yeah. Does the random button like bring you like, okay, now I'm watching like season 4, episode 3 of like some series that's on Netflix?
Well, I think you could either do two things, which is like whatever they pick, you could watch. If it's a TV show, you could watch the first episode of it. Mm-hmm. Or you could say like, we'll wait till we get a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a random movie.
Oh, just random until we get a different, like a new movie.
Something watchable. Right. I agree. It's not funny to watch, mm-hmm. like, you know, season 6, episode 7 of Power Rangers, which is what just came up for me. But like,
yeah. Okay. So that answers that question. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I just, that's what showed up on Netflix.
Who is that for?
Because that's what my kids.
Who is that for, the random button on Netflix?
Yeah. Someone who's like, you know, I mean, you know, they've run out of everything to watch. They're like, ooh, maybe, you know, I make the decision for me, Netflix. Some people are very indecisive. You ever ask like your significant other, what do you want to watch tonight? You want to go to a movie? What movie do you want to go to? Mm-hmm.
Is this part of your tight five? Decide?
It's not so tight.
Yeah.
You don't like I think the random button's a good idea.
I don't know if it's a good idea, but it's definitely an idea. It exists. Idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's not dropping you in the middle of a series, though, you know, with some series.
Well, I think you could skip over those, but yeah.
Yeah, because you can't just drop me in the middle of it. It'll spoil whatever, you know, whatever I missed before.
Well, I thought it was like the Netflix and chill option where it's like you're ready for the chilling and mm-hmm. it's like, hey, I don't even just put something on the TV and then you just hit that button. You don't have to be like scrolling through like, oh, what do you want to watch? You want to watch this? You want to watch this? You want to watch this?
Yeah, but then it should be something very like specific. You don't want to, if there's Netflix and chill and they're like, all right. When you wake up in the morning, like it's Saved by the Bell's on all of a sudden or something. I don't know.
Or like the Human Centipede. You're like, oh my gosh. You know,
yeah.
Turn this off.
It could go wrong.
I don't know. I will never find out unless the random button shows
up. We won't be watching that. So, Chappelle, we should have people tell us what they want us to talk about next on Netflix, right?
Of course. I would have suggested a poll until I found out about the Renap shenanigans that people just come in and stuff ballots left mm-hmm. and right. And so
don't do polls.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. I don't trust the listeners anymore. Y'all are wily. Mm-hmm. And And so I didn't give them enough credit. I didn't know that could happen. So we can't do a poll, but we can definitely do just like a general survey of the crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe.
Yeah. Let us know on social media. We love to hear from you. Okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Tweet Akiva. Like that's what Akiva's role can be. Since this is from the brain of Akiva.
Well,
so he can do the filtering of the like suggesting. He can tell us what the people want. You know, he has his ear to the street.
He has his finger on the pulse. Yeah.
Uh-huh. He does.
Of the whole Renap Nation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's Akiva's role in this as our unofficial third co-host.
The third bubble boy.
Yeah.
Chappelle, have you seen any sort of a buzz about Seinfeld on Netflix? If you weren't doing this podcast and we didn't say that it was going to be happening here October 1st, would you even know Seinfeld was going to be on Netflix?
So, coincidentally, and I don't know if this is just because of the algorithm and I've tweeted about Netflix recently, but Netflix did tweet out today that they are promoting all 180 episodes of Seinfeld. They actually tweeted out yesterday, are now on Netflix. And so I am seeing the tweets. You know, it got about 2,000 retweets. So that's not a ton, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I think they could actually put some more heat behind it. But maybe since we're talking about it, that'll get the people going. That'll get the conversation started. Yes. Yeah. And Netflix should pay us to do this. Just saying.
Yeah. Akiva, have you seen any of the ads for Seinfeld on Netflix?
I haven't. Yeah, listen, I'm very like tapped in the Seinfeld world. I'm in like Seinfeld chats and like, still talking about Seinfeld, even though I have not watched an episode basically since we stopped. I needed a break. Mm-hmm. We ended the podcast in 2018. I think it seems like it's a pretty light rollout so far, but it makes sense. They have it for a few years. It's not a popular new show that's going to go away in a few weeks. Like,
okay,
this, it can become organic, like, you know, The Office did, and eventually they could have some big ad campaign for it. Doesn't seem like Jerry Seinfeld is doing
publicity for this. I was going to tell you about this. So that there is an ad that Jerry Seinfeld did on for Netflix, where Jerry Seinfeld is dressed like a giant Lego.
Oh,
yeah. And it features voiceover from Bryan Cranston. Here, let me see if I can play a little bit of this and see if it translates to the audio podcast.
Coming this fall to Netflix, Seinfeld. It's must-see TV like you've never seen it before. Inspired by the wildly popular Lego set model. It's Lego Seinfeld.
So here's Jerry in a, like, a big Lego suit walking into his Lego apartment.
He's blocky. He's stoppy. He's one half real organic matter. He has sea hands. And he's every bit as funny as his human counterpart.
I am the human counterpart. They shrunk me down.
Quiet.
And it's Jerry is like living in this Lego world with Bryan Cranston as the voiceover guy.
Now, Chappelle's not a huge Seinfeld guy, but like, that's the best. Like, they couldn't get anybody associated with the show for more than a couple episodes. Like, I know Cranston's a big name, but that, like, when you think of Seinfeld, you think Bryan Cranston.
I mean, if Walter White tells me to do something, I'm probably just going to do it. So I guess it's not a bad idea, but is he associated with the show at all?
Yes,
he's on the show.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
that. What is his role on the show?
He plays a dentist, Tim Watley.
And so he's like the most popular guest star.
No. That, I mean, they call attention to that later on in this ad.
Not real.
Lego Putty sold separately.
Yeah, that's right.
Lego Watley, not available.
Yeah. What happened to Watley?
He did like 5 episodes.
6.
I don't know how this happened, but I am not a toy.
Yeah. Jerry says, I don't want to be a Lego.
At least he's in on the joke.
Yeah.
I mean,
I watched something else on TikTok today. Frank Caliendo was doing like Seinfeld 2047, and he was dressed as all the characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is weird. I don't think they're pushing this hard enough. If the best we have is this ad and this TikTok, I don't know. I think it's up to us to get the word out.
Yeah. Akiva, do you think it's wild that on Friday, October 1st, the hottest IP around is Seinfeld and The Sopranos?
Listen, they must have paid what they paid. Did it come out like hundreds of million dollars a year for this? $1 billion a year?
Big money.
Big money to show Seinfeld. So I'm surprised maybe they blew all their budget on like the IP and they don't have a dollar for promotion, you know?
Okay.
Also, like, other than Jerry, like, I don't, you know, the actors don't get a piece of this. So
yeah,
that, you know, like, who else is doing, like, that? You couldn't pay Larry David enough to promote Seinfeld.
Sure. I mean, he's not even in the show. Like, what does he need to go promote?
He's got a chunk of the pie, I think.
But sure. I guess so.
Yeah, we need to reach out to Fred Caliendo then, because I'm looking at his Twitter page and he's got the most Seinfeld buzz that I've seen so far. The people seem very excited for this. So
yeah, Caliendo is big on TikTok.
Yeah, and then I know that's your realm now, Rob.
Yeah, I know. I love it. Chappelle, could you tell us a little bit about your experience or familiarity with Seinfeld, if any?
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, it was always on television. But, you know, it was one of those things that if it was on TV between, like, me watching whatever cartoon or teen drama I was watching, then I might sit through an episode. But I always thought it was funny. The few episodes that I've seen were ridiculous, and so I appreciated them. Even recently with this project, of course, I watched a couple of episodes and I ended up watching The Marine Biologist. And that episode, that is some fascinating television right there. I really enjoyed that. So, I mean, in my past, I wasn't like a big fan. But once you and Akiva and I started listening to Renap and y'all would make all these references to Seinfeld podcasts, I was like, well, let me sit down and just watch all of these and figure out, you know, what it is that I'm missing. And I think I got through like the first season and maybe part of the second season and I lost interest. Yeah. So I was happy to be back.
Well, the thing about Seinfeld, and it'll be interesting to see how many people are going to be binging the show, but it really doesn't really find itself for, you know, maybe like 2.5-3 seasons until it sort of becomes more of a fully formed show.
Talking about the podcast or the Seinfeld TV show?
Well, I guess in our instance, both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is season 5, I think we ended up watching.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it did feel like, you know, the characters already had kind of backstories. They knew a lot about each other. So, yeah, I think, yeah, if you give it a few seasons, it might be something that that you can latch on to. But I just watched the first, you know, season. I think the first season is very short, too, if it's I remember correctly. Episodes,
yeah.
Yeah, so I felt like, oh, this is a breeze. You know, I can make it through this. And so maybe had I pushed through a little bit further to like season 3 or 4, I'd have been hooked. But, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
It was still a good journey, though. I enjoyed this episode a lot.
Yeah. Akiva, I was looking at Seinfeld on Netflix, and that, you know, it took me right into season 1, episode 1. Do you think that they should line up the catalog differently so you don't start on episode 1?
Like a button, like, are you sure? Like, here's the super Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, to get the greatest hits, they put them all at the
top.
Yeah,
like maybe it should be like a YouTube channel where it's like featured episodes, and then like mm-hmm. underneath, like you get into like start season 1, episode 1.
Like most popular. Yeah, here's the 10 most popular or something. Mm-hmm. Most watched.
That's not bad, especially if it doesn't spoil the rest of the series. Like even for this Nothing But Netflix activity, you know, if we found an episode, you know, even if it is deep into a series and it just doesn't, you know, almost like a bottle episode that's just really good. I think it's kind of what they did with community building on post-show recaps, where they would just like jump around to whatever episodes they thought were mm-hmm. catchy. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, maybe that's not a horrible idea. Find like the flagship episode and make people watch that, and then they'll want to go back and watch the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder.
Okay. Well, look, should we talk about the Hamptons?
Sure.
Okay.
Y'all walk me through this, because I have a lot of questions. Because, you know, like I said, I don't have the backstory for this. So I'm definitely asking, like, who these people are, why these people act this way, why they are trying to ruin each other's lives so aggressively. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have questions.
Yeah.
Well, so, Chappelle, you know, like the 4 main characters, right? That much you're familiar with, right?
Yes, exactly. I know that like Kramer is always just randomly walking into Jerry's house and getting left in there. Mm-hmm. I know mm-hmm. that Jerry and George went to college together, from what I understand.
Okay.
And then I know Elaine is there as well. And I'm not quite sure what her relationship is to them. Maybe like Jerry's ex or something.
Yeah. Jerry's ex. You nailed it.
Yeah. And I think that Jerry and George were like childhood friends also. I mean, I know that they were at least in like high school together.
Yeah, I think we've seen them in maybe junior high school, high school, and they went to Queens College together, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Actually, Jerry Seinfeld in real life attended the same college that I did, Chappelle, Oswego State University
mm-hmm.
for 2 years. Yes. Yes.
Home.
Yes. Oswego Mount Rushmore, Rob Cesternino, Jerry Seinfeld. Who else is up there?
Al Roker.
Yo. Al Roker.
Really?
And Steve Levy, Linda Cohn. Okay. Yeah.
So now Steve Levy's on the Mount Rushmore, but then they make a second Mount Rushmore with like more interesting people who didn't go to the school. that was for nobody, but it was good.
Why are you anti Steve Levy?
No, it's a joke, because ESPN, he's the Monday Night Football announcer for ESPN, but then they put the Mannings on and promote that over him.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the all time TV cucking. It's amazing.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's impressive.
It's crazy that like they're like, don't watch the one that we sell the ads for. Watch the Mannings on ESPN 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which one do you watch, Akiva?
I just watch the replay in the morning on Game Pass.
Okay. All right.
The Mannings are fun. I didn't buy into it at first, but then I watched, I guess, whatever this last game is, they commentated. Was it the Cowboys game?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. And it was, they're good. I can't lie. I can't hate on them. They're pretty good.
I don't mind the idea, but I wish they had like a better setup. I feel like I'm watching Peyton Manning looks like he's at like a studio, but like Eli Manning seemed like he was on Zoom. They were talking about Brett Favre on one of them.
Yeah, they could blame Corona. You're still at the point where you could blame COVID for any bad production.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
And they save money that way.
Yeah. Okay. So most Seinfeld episodes start off with Jerry doing some stand up. Chappelle, do you like seeing a show start this way?
It's different. And my first question is, does the stand up always have to does it correspond with the episode, the plot, or any part of the episode?
Usually. Sometimes.
So, because this one, I think the stand up was, this wasn't the beaches beating you up, is it? Like that was
at the end, the whole, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. What would, do you remember what it, how
he
it
was
started?
Talking about water. About how, that people, they want to be around water. They love water. They drink water. And then if it rains, then they freak out.
Yeah, projectile water is what we really are running from. We don't want to be soaked in the water as well, but we definitely want the water. We want to drink it. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. But this episode had nothing to do with that. So that's why I asked. I mean, there was a beach in this episode. They go to the Hamptons. But aside from that, I didn't understand why they picked this particular set. And so I was hoping y'all had some insight into how Jerry Seinfeld decided which ones to use for which each episode.
Yeah. Akiva, do we know, did they like shoot all of these like at one time?
I don't remember. We once knew, but we've forgotten most of what we knew about Seinfeld. I forget exactly how they did it, but they're not all always like a perfect match. Sometimes they are, and sometimes it's like pretty loose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is a little bit of a weird episode to watch, Chappelle, because they are not at Jerry's apartment for this episode, where I feel like that most Seinfeld episodes take place mostly in Jerry's apartment and then also in the diner.
Yeah, but this is a road trip to the Hamptons.
Yes.
What is the appeal for as a Texan? Mm-hmm. What is the appeal of the Hamptons? Could you please explain this to me? Because my insight to the Hamptons starts and stops at white chicks.
Akiva, have you ever been to the Hamptons?
I've been to the Hamptons. My Hampton story, I probably told this on the podcast 6 years ago.
You
the
did only not time tell I spent, a Hampton story on oh, the wow. Hamptons okay. episode of the podcast.
So my grandfather had like a friend who had a house in the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. And basically we went there, but he hated children.
Okay.
So I think they weren't supposed to bring any kids. So anytime my sister and I, like we were in the pool or whatever, anytime the phone rang, because that's what happened back in the day. Like people would call your... like the house phone if they wanted to speak to it, like 1992 or whatever, we would have to be very quiet. So like there was no sign of kids. They like snuck kids into the Hamptons house. That's my one memory of ever going to the Hamptons. It's like, there's a lot of traffic going up there. Everything is very expensive. I don't know what the appeal is. Rob, do you have a lot of Hamptons experience?
Not really. I've been to like bars like in the Hamptons drank there, but like I have no experience with sort of like the classy part of the Hamptons.
Is there
they don't let cultural, us into something like that.
Yeah,
is there a cultural equivalent that I should know of the Hamptons? Like if you tried to explain to the Hamptons someone like, oh, it's kind of like blank, what would you say?
It's just like the like rich vacation area of that, like the people in Manhattan, I think, make their way out to like the opposite end of Long Island to, you know, be in this like very rich area. Like I don't have like what the like another equivalent of what this area is.
Yeah. Like if you're a celebrity or you're like an anchor on, you know, ABC News or like, you know, you're an East Coast celebrity, basically, like you generally have or rent a house in the Hamptons every summer. Mm-hmm. So it's a bunch of rich people hanging out with other rich people.
Oh, OK. That actually does sound appealing. So so people just go hang out and be rich.
Right.
Okay. They hang and be rich.
Yeah. The richest people that are in Manhattan, like make their way all somehow to the opposite end of Long Island for like weekends during the summer.
Yeah, it's the summer only. And also the beginning of COVID, like they all went there. All these people were out of anyone who was a house there was like out of the city immediately. Mm-hmm. But like pretending they weren't on social media.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like Ted Cruz when he just ran off to Mexico. Got it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like the Mexico of New York if you're like a socialite.
If you're facing a global pandemic, Okay, cool. Good to know. I'm learning so much. I like this.
Okay. So the whole gang is going out there to go and see a baby that they have not seen before. Now, Chappelle, that the group had seen this couple's other baby in an earlier episode of Seinfeld.
Right. But the other baby is not hideous, right?
And not seen in this episode. Yeah.
Yeah, but not hideous.
Kramer dropped the first baby.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I believe they said, I think this family is just having children, so we have to come out here and visit them. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's fine if your baby is not hideous, but I mean, this child apparently is just so ugly that they can't even function throughout this episode. So I just had to ask if it was like a genetics. It really made me uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie, because the visceral reaction they were having to seeing this child makes me wonder if it was even a baby, like if it wasn't just like some type of animal.
You think that maybe that they've adopted some sort of like a feral animal into their family.
Yeah, like the bat that started the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is the baby.
I got the sense that it is a real baby because there seems to be a pediatrician on call the whole time.
Yeah, but what does he actually do? And also, why is he on call?
It's like, a great question.
You don't have a pediatrician on call with your kids, Rob? Like, of course.
No. Well, my wife is a nurse. Yeah.
I mean, not only is he on call, but he stays the night. Like, he's just like, oh, I'll just hang out. So I started to wonder if this was a medical issue.
Just so rich that they can afford their own doctor, basically.
Well, and this guy's in a suit the whole time. It doesn't seem like he's there on a social call. It seems like that he's working.
Right. He's not at the pool with them, like ogling George's friend. I have all of Chester's mailbag questions from the Seinfeld podcast.
Let's set that up for Chappelle.
Yeah. So we would get listeners would write in with questions. We would get, about a dozen people writing in every week. But like nine of them were the same people every week. And then there would be like three new ones. And so Chester was our like home run hitter. He was our cleanup hitter. He would write in questions. Sometimes we would read them in his voice. So I found all of the old questions from the episodes we watched today.
Okay. And are you going to read them in his voice?
I can, but, so yeah, this is what the hell kind of pediatrician makes those calls in the Hamptons. This is a frequent annoyance in sitcoms. My wife, a doctor, he doesn't say that, confirms the doctors haven't made house calls for decades, but it is true. I've never even heard of a house call.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really unique thing. And also like in the Hamptons, this is wild. Maybe he's a doctor who's just like looking for like, hey, can I summer in your house? And like, sure, but you have to check on the baby once a day or something, like some weird agreement they have.
So you think he's like trading his medical services for access to their Hamptons home?
It's possible.
But
this is how the rich stay rich.
I don't think this is possible because he didn't seem to be enjoying the home at all.
That's true. That's true. Well, but he did enjoy the baby. Maybe he just loves kids.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like unenthused by all of it, to be honest. You know, he was using words like breathtaking, but he didn't seem like he was actually, like his breath was actually taken by anything. He just kind of was hanging out. Mm-hmm. They asked him to stay. It looked like they asked him to stay because he might have had a connection with Elaine. But even then, it doesn't seem like that was going to amount to anything.
Chappelle, do you think that's breathtaking is his catchphrase?
I think so. I think it just is like default because he says, I say it to be nice, but that's hyperbolic. Like, why would you use breathtaking? That's such a big adjective to use if you're just throwing it around. Like, you just don't throw it around willy nilly. You have to save breathtaking for actual things that, you know, are awe inspiring.
That take your breath away like cats.
Right. Well, you don't say it about a baby. Mm-hmm. Like, what? He's getting like Jacob Jones is out here getting his breath taken away by cats. This man getting his breath taken away by everyday items and ugly children.
Mm-hmm. Akiva, that you and I stumbled onto something in the original podcast that we wondered maybe the baby wasn't actually that ugly, but the core four hates the idea of babies so much and what they mean in terms of like their like no commitment lifestyle.
Yes.
That maybe that was like this made it so much unpalatable for them.
Yeah, it's possible they're wrong. We don't see anyone outside the core four being like, hey, that's a really ugly kid, right? Like, yeah, I think it's possible that they are just so anti-children and also like pro that like, you know, maintaining their own way of life, that the baby isn't even ugly.
Mm-hmm. And Chappelle probably loves babies. That I've been on calls with him where, you know, he just has like random babies like showing up that he's like caring for.
Yeah, kids love me. I am agnostic to children mostly. I don't think I've ever called a baby ugly aside from this episode. But I'm just gauging it off the reaction that they were having. I mean, Kramer almost fell onto the floor. And I mean, he's very animated, but this has to be a really, really ugly child to make you react like that. And so I kind of agree with y'all. Maybe it's just them because nobody else seems to notice that this baby is that ugly. I don't even think George even looked at the baby. Like, I don't remember George reacting to the baby, but Elaine, Jerry, and Kramer, they weren't even having it. They didn't even want the baby at the dinner table. Like, it's crying. They're like, no, leave it in there.
I mean, I get that. I get that. Yeah.
I mean, if the baby's crying, you have to stop it from crying. They're like, yeah, but do it in there because I don't want to see it. Now I don't want to hear it. You know, I think it interrupts dinner, but it's so ugly. It can't be in the room with me. I think the problem might be with the main characters.
Yeah. Chappelle, this is also a Seinfeld thing where this couple is somehow like friends with all of these four people. And it's not like that the Seinfeld crew is like a family or anything like that. Do you find that odd that they have like all these different times where they have to go to different people's houses or spend time with them and they all have to go?
Yeah, that's weird, especially because they're so unlikable. These people are ruining people's lives. I've only seen a handful of episodes, yeah. And most of the time they're at fault. Like, these are the villains of this story. Mm-hmm. And so for you to feel like, oh, I want all of the Legion of Doom in my home with my child, I just don't think that's something I would do. So yeah, it's fascinating that they can have like friends like this. But I mean, I too would like to have rich friends in the Hamptons. So I mean, whatever they're doing, I guess I should keep it up.
So that's really interesting what you say. That so as somebody who comes in who hasn't gone through the whole show, that you found yourself rooting against the main characters?
Very much so. I told you, one of the episodes I watched was the marine biologist episode. And I mean, I will give you the short version of it. Jerry tells a lie that gets Elaine to telling that same lie and embarrassing herself, that gets a guy to throw a Palm Pilot out of a window and hits a woman in the face. And then she tries to sue Elaine because she sees Jerry's name in it. And then Kramer's out at the oceans, like hitting golf balls into the ocean. And then he kills a whale, or almost kills a whale. But luckily, Jerry told a lie that George was a marine biologist. And so now George is out there at the beach trying to deal with this lie instead of just telling the truth. And then he's saving the whale. It turns out that Kramer almost killed. Like, y'all did this. Y'all are the one reason the woman is in the hospital. Y'all are the reason why the whale is about to die. Y'all are the reason why
summary.
That was a whole episode, and it was fascinating TV. But y'all are bad people. Why do y'all have so many episodes around these bad people?
Well, Chappelle, then do you know how this show ends?
I have no clue how this show.
I don't think we should tell him.
Yeah,
if it's not
180, Chappelle, you gotta ask for 180.
If it's not prison, then they need to start the show over and do it all.
Okay.
These people are criminals, and you can tell. Like, and I can tell.
I think you have to watch all 180. Yeah.
No. Hold on a second. Yeah. Now are you being serious? You're on the level right now.
You know, I've banished people to prison for much less, Rob. Mm-hmm. In fact, right now my Twitter is blowing up to people telling me to go to jail for a candy corn.
To be fair, Chappelle should be in jail for the candy corn.
Listen, I'm just saying you can reform. Like, I'm all for prison reform, but after you lock up these four individuals. Mm. Like, get them first, and then we can talk about this.
And Chappelle for the candy corn martini.
Yeah.
It wasn't a martini.
So, Chappelle, you would end Seinfeld by putting all of the characters in jail? That's what you would do in the finale?
No, not Jerry. Like, okay, so I'm not saying I was being
hyperbolic. You think that would be a good ending to this show?
No, I think. How does a show like this end? I sat through 10 seasons of How I Met Your Mother to be devastated by the ending. So I don't know if you tell me a show has 180 episodes that there can be a good ending for it where I wouldn't apparently be devastated anyway. Like, what do they do? They're already out of college. They already have like jobs and careers. What is the goal? Where are you taking these people? They're like beaching whales in their spare time. Mm-hmm. I just think we should have the conversation about prison time.
Yeah.
All right.
What?
No, I think you should watch the whole series. I think you.
I'm not sitting through the whole season, like series. 180
How about if we
episodes?
Give you like the 20 main episodes, and then you watch them?
Yeah. Give me the hot spots. I can watch them on like 2X.
I'll give you my rankings.
But I'm not saying they need to go to jail because they hit that woman with the Palm Pilot. But they do need to pay for like her hospital bills. Like they hit her a couple of times, and then some random guy walks by and he gets hit with a shoe. Like, Kramer just throws his shoe out of the window and hits the guy from Space Jam in the head.
Wow.
It's the guy from Space Jam.
Who's the guy from Space Jam?
Michael Jordan's, like...
Newman.
PA. Newman. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you know him from Space Jam, Newman.
Yeah. Is he in something else?
Jurassic Park, Basic Instinct. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen him in Basic Instinct.
Yeah.
Never seen Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Okay, well, but Chappelle, I feel like that you really have this fresh set of eyes on this show. Mm-hmm. Where
now I think we do have to go back and watch all 180.
Yeah.
I'm not watching 180 with you. I'm sorry. It's not happening.
And so in this episode, The Hamptons, you found all the characters to be very unlikable as well.
Well, I just don't like them reacting to that baby like that. Like, it was kind of like jerky. But one of these people, two of them in this episode, should probably consider jail time.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. two of the core four, I would have argued.
What about the lobsters? You care that he was
that's,
he was.
That's number one. Stop stealing people's food. But here's the thing. I actually wouldn't have snitched on him. I don't go out like that.
Let me just set this up for people who didn't see the episode or watch it a long time ago. In the episode, one of the things that happens is that Kramer goes out on the beach and then he's like, being wacky on the beach, and he finds a rope and he pulls up a lobster trap. And he brings home to the Hamptons' house a bunch of lobsters that he found, which we find out later was like a commercial lobster trap.
Yeah, but he's alerted of this. And then he's like, OK, cool. We're eating lobster. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with you? Why would you do that? You know, and so eventually the cops come because the guy who's home there, it snitches on him and they take him to jail. And apparently it's like $1,000 fine where he has to do community service, where he has to pick up trash. In a normal situation, I probably wouldn't care about like a family of people stealing from like a corporate, you know, lobster trap. But these are people in the Hamptons. Like, y'all are rich people. These people are feeding you. Like, you didn't have to do this. Like, so I would not have called the police, but I also wouldn't have felt so bad about it if Kramer went to jail for that in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seemed like very swift justice on the Kramer thing, where he got caught stealing the lobsters, that they gave him up to the police, and then seemingly the next day he's picking up garbage on the side of the road in Suffolk County.
Swift justice for people in the Hamptons. I'm not shocked by that. You know, like, they quickly get him to community service so we can get him out the system. But at least it was community service. He was picking up trash, you know, doing his duty to the community. So yeah, that was interesting. But Kramer is not the most egregious person in this episode, but even a little bit. The other person that I'm talking about deserves jail time, and I want that person in jail now.
Okay.
Yes.
Who is that person?
It's our George.
George Costanza.
This George guy.
Well,
this guy is a criminal.
So, is it because that ultimately he fed the lobster to the woman who was keeping kosher?
Yeah, but after he tried to walk in on her getting dressed on purpose, what are you doing?
All right.
Wise. I want to purposely lay eyes on your naked body and pretend it is an accident, though I like telegraphed it. But then I want to go ruin this other woman's religious beliefs, even though she was. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Akiva has said on Renab, like, I would never, I would never eat something that wasn't kosher.
I wouldn't eat lobster for $1 billion.
For $1 billion. And George Costanza was like, yeah, hold these eggs. You know, like, this is so stupid. It's so dumb. Put him in prison.
All right. Well, let's talk it through, because George has a lot going on here in this episode. Admittedly, the lobster stuff is not my favorite thing. Akiva and I had a healthy conversation about this 8 years ago, talking about this episode. But George is much more famous for, and this is a famous episode because of the other George storyline about his girlfriend and how he's gone to the Hamptons to that he is going to consummate the relationship with his woman that he's seeing, Jane. Unfortunately, that things go awry due to there being a incident that happens after he goes in the pool.
Yes. And I have questions. So if y'all could give me some insight into it, because there was a lot of gray area here for me. And so I really want to talk it out.
Yeah. Well, let's make a meal of this. Let's talk it all through. George is going out to the Hamptons with Jane and Akiva. Did the people at the Hamptons house know that there's going to be this much like a premeditated fornication happening at their house?
Well, I mean, are you inviting people to your house? Like, but by the way, like, no doing it? Like, you know what I mean?
I don't know. Is that, Chappelle, is that rude?
It is rude. It is rude. I better not be woken up in the middle of the night to you, like, to bumps in the night or something like that. Mm-hmm. Excuse me?
If you have a house guest, is there an expectation that they will not fornicate?
In my mind, yes. There is an expectation there. I mean, that you should not be doing that. Unless you have been very clear that, like, you know, maybe there's like some like ovulation cycle or something that you're trying to do. And then which case.
So if you're trying to conceive, you can be clear. You can like tell the host.
By the way,
we're trying to have a baby. Like,
honestly, I'm pretty open-minded. You could just tell me beforehand. I just don't want to be surprised by anything going on in my home.
Okay.
That's all right.
So if you're planning premeditated fornication, then you should at least let Chappelle know first.
Oh, please. At all times. Matter of fact, you don't even have to be in my home. Just send me shoot me a tweet. Like, it's about to go down. I'm like, all right, cool, babe. Peace and blessings to you. Good luck.
And Akiva, will you make the same guarantee if I invite you to stay at my home?
So you're in this hypothetical, you're inviting me and my wife.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can promise nothing will happen. Yeah. I can promise right now. Nothing will happen. It's interesting. I hadn't really, you know, I hadn't thought about it. Like, what are the rules with going to somebody's house?
This isn't like an Airbnb that they're all going to go stay at. Like, this is somebody's home.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Mm-hmm. But listen, they're inviting them up for a few days. Like,
there are children in that home, Akiva. There's two. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we only saw one really ugly one and we didn't even see it. But mm-hmm. I mean, there's another child y'all just told me. So, I mean, mm-hmm. you don't want, you know what? I mean, there's several couples in this house. What if there's multiple acts of fornication going on at the same time and it just becomes a madhouse and you know, the walls are thin. You don't want all of that. You got to.
I mean, are the walls thin? It's like a fancy Hamptons house. The walls might be very thick.
I don't know how the Hamptons go. I've been in the Hampton Inn, and I can tell you, it's not that thick.
Yeah, well, it is. They try and replicate the same experience. That's a good point.
Well, if that's any experience, then they should know that fornication's coming.
I told the story, I think on Renat, when I was staying in a hotel this summer, like all of a sudden I was about to go to sleep, and like the wall started like slamming, and it was a nice hotel, started like slamming against my head.
Oh, this is when like, you were covering the Olympics?
Well, it was when I was in a hotel this summer. Yeah. They were like, okay. Yeah, it was like, all right, this is awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was alone.
It's hella awkward. Hey, what goes down in Hamptons stays in Hamptons, yeah. Whether it's mm-hmm. the inn or the location in New York.
All right. So, George and Jane, they are hitting it off great. It seems like that they have a great relationship. They both love cough syrup.
Yeah, this conversation is weird. So they're asking about like, well, George is saying like, no, I love cough syrup. Like, I haven't met a cough syrup that I didn't like. And what is that? Is this the conversation you have? Like, okay, let me backtrack. This Jane woman, is this her first time on the show? Or is
yeah,
she
I
like
don't
a
think
running?
She ever is in any other episodes.
Because they allude to this isn't their first outing. And they're taking like almost a vacation, yeah. You know, to the Hamptons together. So you would think they have better things to talk about than like, hey, don't you love cough syrup? And one time I found some change at the bottom of a fountain. See, it doesn't actually think, Chappelle, I mean, they don't look like they know each other.
George prides himself on like being a great like conversationalist and small talk and like being able to have things to talk about with women especially.
Yeah, well, there's nothing to reflect that in this episode. Like, the woman that he's spending this time with has nothing to say to him. Like, there's moments where he says, oh, well, we should do X, Y, Z. And she's like, yeah, I just want to go get some sun. Mm-hmm. And then, like, gets far away from him as possible twice. Mm-hmm. And then even when Jerry's friend Rachel shows up, or girlfriend, I don't know their status. But when she shows up, George's like, hi, Rachel, how are you? And she's like, fine, and just walks away. So I don't know if there's any data to support what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, Rachel's been on the episode on an episode before. But, yes. But you're right, Jane is not.
But did Rachel have any reason to hate George? She seems very cold to George, and not just when he was getting out of the pool.
No. I'm asking Akiva, too. I don't know.
Well, I think in general, like, George is a pretty hateable guy.
Okay. Well, Chappelle's watched a couple episodes. He hates him already.
All of Jerry's girlfriends immediately hate George. Listen, mm-hmm. we all have that friend that's like everyone. All right, everyone hates everyone's significant other hates, like in our friend group, everyone's significant other hates this person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I am the friend. I'm mm-hmm. the one that everybody mm-hmm. hates, so I get it because mm-hmm. I don't have one of those friends, so it has to be me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Akiva, I feel like that you've also said that you are the person that everybody's significant.
Yeah,
other
oh, that's
hates.
For sure me. Yeah, yeah. I think mm-hmm. with my wife, that's for sure me
because.
Sure.
Chappelle, Akiva is a glue guy that a bunch of people are like, he's like a carry that everybody is friends with Akiva. And then all the significant others are like, oh, those guys are all hanging out again. Who organized that? Akiva?
Mm-hmm. It sounds about right. I'm more like, I'm not a glue guy. I'm more like just the fun person. So it's like, oh, like I like you have responsibilities. And it's like, but Chappelle, look at Chappelle over there not having responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Like, don't you want to go hang out with Chappelle? So every time someone's doing something fun, they're like, must be that damn Chappelle. Is at it again with his shenanigans. I'm like, no, I'm just having a good time. So I get it. No justice for George. He's horrible.
All right. So they all get to the beach house and we heard this woman, Jane, she wants to get into the sun and George is going to go run an errand to go pick up. He needs to pick up these tomatoes so badly. Chappelle, are you a big tomato guy?
I mean, they exist and I eat them, but I'm not like, oh, like I gotta get, but I've never had a Hampton tomato, you know, as I learned in this episode, that's a thing that people want. So maybe if I've had one from the Hamptons, a rich ass tomato, I would probably like them more.
Mm-hmm.
My tomatoes are very poor from farmers markets and like local grocery stores.
Akiva, have you ever even heard of a Hampton's tomato?
I didn't know it was a thing, honestly.
Yeah, I never heard that phrase before this episode or only on this episode. Anyway, so that while George is gone and everybody knows that this is the big weekend for George and Jane, she ends up going down to the beach and ends up being topless in just like sunning herself or like just walking around topless like it's no thing.
Yeah. Yeah, this is another one of those, like, if I invite you to my home, you know, you want to have some decorum about, you know, how you're presenting yourself. I mean, she was on the beach, but she was in eyesight of the house. And mm-hmm. Of course, there are children here.
Yeah.
But
isn't it topless beach?
And she made it one, you know, like once she went down there and took off her top, it became one. But, you know, they didn't have any issue looking at her. I just was wondering why she was so close and why she had no issue coming back to the house still topless. She didn't leave topless. Why did you come back topless?
Yeah. I mean, where did the top go? Was she carrying it? Did she leave it on the beach?
I think it's on the chair there. But it also, these don't seem like the people's house they're staying at don't seem like the type of people who would be cool with this. Mm-hmm. They don't seem that laid back, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, they don't. They have a pediatrician on call, like just hanging out at their house. They're not like, oh yeah, topless random woman who none of us know, just walk around my porch. Mm-hmm. This is a stranger. I mean, don't get me wrong. Anybody's free to go topless at my house. Don't worry. Just let me know beforehand. Mm-hmm. But I'm not these people, you know.
Should you ask the homeowner first?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, if you have to ask, you probably shouldn't do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you're in a place that is topless friendly. Yeah.
So to go back to the Netflix aspect of this all, I don't know if like there was a different crop of this episode that aired on TV, but did either of you notice this, that there's like a production mistake that happens when Jane ends up walking back onto the deck? And then she makes like a 90 degree right turn. And you can see like that she is not topless.
Oh, no, I wasn't looking that closely, Rob.
Yeah,
I didn't notice.
Wait, so you're saying you froze like the frames, Rob?
No, you can see it. If you watch it on Netflix.
Uh huh.
I mean, there's no way this aired on NBC like this.
Right. People are saying that the that Netflix, Netflix put Seinfeld right now in 16:9.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's cutting out the bottom of the screen. So like in the episode, the pothole, you can't actually see the pothole. That went a little viral today. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe they accidentally superimposed the bathing suit.
I mean, she's just not a method actress, you know, like she just wasn't.
Yeah, I'm sure she wasn't actually topless on the set. Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she should commit to her craft more then. Maybe maybe the conversation should be with that lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So George ends up finding out about this from Kramer later on in the episode, and he's very upset about this. And this is sort of like the motivator for the rest of the action in the episode.
And this is weird for me. I understand why he's upset, because people saw his significant person. I won't say significant other, because I don't know. I still don't know the nature of their relationship. Yeah, his date. Saw his date topless, and he has not seen his date topless. So, of course, there was some jealousy there. Also, I mean, he looks like a person who's just itching to see someone topless all the time. So maybe he was a little upset about that. But his response to this was, okay, well, Jerry, you have to let me see Rachel topless in order to kind of even things out. And I don't understand that at all. I just don't get it.
So yeah, Jerry or Kramer blurts out that they saw Jane topless. And then George is very frustrated, mostly with Jerry.
Yeah. Why not upset with Jane? Why Jane did this? Jerry, well, didn't coerce this woman. He's not mad at
Kramer or Elaine, only Jerry.
Oh yeah. I don't know. What's it? I mean, like maybe they have like the strongest friendship. Is it the thing where, I mean, because they all seem like they're interchangeable, like as far as their friendships go. But is it the thing where Jerry is the carry?
Yeah, Jerry is the kid. Yeah, I mean, I think that just to revisit this, Akiva, right? Jer- Jerry's the carry, or I think we say this couldn't be done.
Yeah, I don't think there is a perfect match on Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just talking about as far as the nature of their relationship. So is Jerry the person who they all but are Jerry's friends with? The Jerry, nucleus.
Yeah,
yeah. So is there a lot of Kramer and George interaction to where he should feel personally attacked by this?
Very little.
No, oh, okay. So yeah, that's why. It just if falls anything, back on Jerry.
Kramer is with Michael Jordan's friend more often than not in his standalone stories.
He's the one who hit him with the boot. I guess some friend that guy is.
So yeah, George is getting frustrated. He does not like that Jerry saw Jane topless and that he feels like it should be an eye for an eye. He should get to see Rachel topless.
Yes. This was an eye for an eye stems from situations like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tit for tat.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Jerry says, you could see me naked.
And George is out. And I'm like, well, George, honestly, that was probably the compromise that you could have gotten out of this, because you can't just wager someone else's nakedness on your petty thing that you have going on. Like, Jerry can't just offer up Rachel, you know, Jane walked around topless. Jerry had nothing to do with that. He just happened to be there. So, I mean, Jerry gave you, he extended an olive branch. He just didn't want it.
Yeah. Was the move for George to just try to convince Jane to get back to the beach to then she would go topless again?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it was a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's happening again.
Not happening again? Why? What was so special? Was it because he left?
I think it's like, you got to be in the mood. I think I think she's got to feel it. I don't think it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's more that he was gone. He's like, oh, thank gosh, she's gone. Like, now I can let these puppies out. You know, like,
also, she was trying to create a buzz. Like, the buzz is created. She doesn't have to do it again.
Yeah.
And honestly, Kramer said that and I laughed. But now that you mention it, it did work. She was the talk of the town, or at least, this home.
Mm-hmm. I love the expression trying to create a buzz, and it comes from here. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chappelle, do you think that Jane secretly hated George? What do you think that she was doing here?
I think she hates George. I think she does. Well,
why'd she agree to go on this weekend?
It's a trip to the Hamptons. It's a free trip to go be with rich people as they be rich. I would go.
I guess so.
If George invited me, as much as I hate him from this episode and the other, seven or eight episodes I've seen, I'd still go. Yeah, whatever. Let's go make some rich friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And she's already creating a buzz.
She did. She went out. She did a little advertisement on the beach. Mm-hmm. So she's like, she's probably the talk of the town. She'll probably be invited back to the Hamptons before George.
Oh, you think that maybe there could have been other people showing up and trying to she might be able to upgrade to a better Hamptons house after this.
I would try. You gotta use what you got to get what you want.
Mm-hmm. That's smart. Yeah. Okay. And so we're seeing Elaine and Jerry and Rachel are all talking in a bedroom, and then Elaine leaves, and she's leaving the room. She passes George and says, don't go in there. Rachel's getting undressed. And George feels like, okay, this is my moment. He barges into this room.
Should I say more?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing here? This man should be in jail. Mm-hmm. What is he doing?
Yeah.
When y'all talked about it, I mean, were you shocked when you see something like this? Because it's bad back then, but it's kind of like middle school comedy of like, I saw you naked. But now I'm like, bro, like.
No, it's a different time, Chappelle. Yeah. Nobody would
try. Yeah.
Didn't it wasn't the top 100 of things that probably happened on TV that week.
And I'm not like, cancel Seinfeld. This is egregious. I'm just saying the middle school comedy aspect of it was fine, back then. You know, I get what they were going for. Mm-hmm. But honestly, George, you're a grown ass man. Like, this is not like the middle school locker room people, what is those movies from the 80s or whatever. You know, like, this is a grown ass man with a career. Sir, what are you doing? I don't understand.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a career yet. In the next episode, he gets a career. He
works. It's been five seasons and he doesn't have a career.
Well, he's a loser. He's unemployed.
For five seasons?
Chappelle, he's a loser.
Yeah, that in the next episode that comes up in The Opposite, he talks about his previous work history. His last two jobs were he worked in publishing, but he got fired for having sex with the cleaning woman on his desk. Then the other job that he had before that was in real estate, and he told his boss that he hated him.
Yeah, because he didn't let him use his private bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that second part, I can kind of, okay, I can see the second one. But yeah, this, yeah, but it's been that long.
He gets to, he goes to work for the Yankees after this. And, the most evil profession there is.
Yeah, but I think I knew that. I think somehow there's like an episode I've seen where he was like working for the Yankees. So I think I knew of that. He ends up making like, he gets a really good job, right? Like I remember him having, or at least in someone's like big ass office. Maybe he was talking to his boss.
He's assistant to the traveling secretary for the Yankees.
That's a very specific job role.
Although Akiva, when he takes that job that he says that he's going to be going on road trips with the team, and I don't think we ever see him go on one road trip.
Yeah, to our knowledge, I don't believe he goes on a road trip. I think
they probably hate him too.
Yeah. Well, Donnie Baseball likes him. He switches his batting stance in the next episode.
Yeah. And so George has barged in. Rachel is furious. I feel like that Jerry isn't that upset. Right, Chappelle, should Jerry be more mad?
Yeah. It says Jerry specifically told George not to do this. Like George says, I should see Rachel naked. And Jerry says, or no, you should not. Mm-hmm. And so then, oh, look, you're walking in on my girlfriend naked on purpose. Like you are literally doing this. And I just happen to be here catching you. I wouldn't be mad if Jerry punched him. I know they go way back, but this is an invasion of her privacy. But also, what the hell? Like, you don't have any respect for each other as friends. So I don't know. Jerry was not angry enough. He seemed like he was getting there, but I've not seen enough Seinfeld to where I've been able to separate his actual voice and like the impressions that I've heard of him over the years.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell if he was like putting on that he was upset or if that's just how he talks every day. Like, does he order like his Starbucks coffee like this? Is that just Jerry Seinfeld's voice? So it's hard for me. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah. Jerry doesn't really get mad, right, Akiva?
Very rarely.
Like he seems like he's high-pitched.
I relate to that. I don't really get mad, but I definitely, my voice will get higher and higher the more passionately I feel about something. So I get that.
So they kick George out. I do like that. They ask him, well, why are you here? Why did you come in this room? He wanted to know if they had any gum. The water was cold and it warms him up.
Well, I mean, he didn't lie about one thing. The water was indeed cold. We seem to find out very quickly.
Yes, because there's a real turnabout that comes in where then Rachel is going to go be looking for the baby so she could see the baby. And then she ends up walking in on George, who is getting undressed. He had just been in the pool and apparently it was cold. And Chappelle, this is one of the most famous scenes in Seinfeld history.
Why?
It taught the whole nation about shrinkage. Nobody knew about it.
This was the day that it was like exposed to the greater audience. Yes,
nobody knew it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chester says the greatest thing Larry David ever did was exonerate that guy who was wrongfully accused of murder. The second greatest thing was teaching womankind about shrinkage. Right.
Okay. Did you know I've spoken to Chester about Curb before?
Yes.
Yes, you were on the Curb podcast.
Did shrinkage come up?
Yeah. Did you guys talk about shrinkage?
No, it was the N-word episode. So I just felt like I was brought in like almost like a character witness or something, like somebody who could speak to the topic a little bit more intimately. Mm-hmm. I cannot speak to this one intimately. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a famous scene. He was in the pool.
Yeah, it was cold. He's in the pool. Rachel walked in. Her reaction to seeing George was almost like Kramer's reaction to seeing the baby. Mm-hmm. Like they were both violently like upset. And George, of course, then realizes that, you know, some shrinkage has occurred and he's trying to express this to Rachel, who laughs at him and then walks out. Now, that's the killer. When she laughed at him, that really, at that point, George should have left. Mm-hmm. He should have just went ahead and left. I mean, nothing was going his way, but it seemed like he just had revenge on his mind at that point. He's a horrible human being.
Mm-hmm. He was in the pool. I was in the pool. He screamed. And, we then see Jerry trying to, talk to George about this. And, he explains what the problem was. He felt like that he was not seen as he should have been seen, Chappelle.
Yeah. He felt like he was caught slipping, you know, and, I mean, that is really sad for him, you know. I feel like he doesn't have a lot to hang his hat on, if you will. And so for here, it's like, you can't take that from him. Whatever he has, he wants to present his best self, because I mean, every other part of this man that we've found out about in this conversation has been horrible. So I'm thinking, like, if you have something to speak of, you want it to be spoken of highly, because in all other aspects of life, he is failing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait,
at least that's the sense I'm getting.
Yeah. Akiva, do you think that when people first started watching Seinfeld, that they people that are tuning in, like, felt the same way about these characters that Chappelle did?
I don't think so.
Well, I jumped right in the middle.
Because I think we also view things with 2021 glasses on. Mm-hmm. Much different time than like 1994, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, I will say the episode I talked about the marine biologist where I said they all ruined everybody's life. That was so funny. That whole episode was hilarious.
Yeah. So behind the scenes, we the second episode we were supposed to watch, we sort of watched different episodes. So
yeah. But oh no, this episode was hilarious. So I could still enjoy the episode, but yeah, this is just me just hating on George at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jerry and George are talking about this and they want to know, do the women know about the shrinkage? And they call in Elaine. And again, this is Chappelle. This is also like really iconic Seinfeld stuff. When they ask Elaine about if she knows about shrinkage, and she says, like, what did she say, Akiva? Like laundry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shrinks. I don't know how you guys walk around with those things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's shrinking, then it shouldn't be that hard to walk around with now, should it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what she says.
Okay. So they get no comfort from Elaine in terms of relaying this message. And so George is very concerned that Rachel is going to say something to Jane. There's this dinner. And Keith, the seating is wild at this dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's so wild about it? I mean, the clothing's also wild. Like, Elaine's in a suit the whole weekend. The doctor's always in a suit. But what's wild about the seating?
It's almost like that they sat people like across the table from their significant other, as opposed to next to their significant other.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out the relationship of Jerry and Rachel, because although they're there together, they're not intimate. Yeah, they're not like kissing or even like speaking lovingly to each other. The only reason I knew for a fact that they had been dating for a while is that he was in the room when she was changing and she didn't have any feelings about that. But, you know, of course, George walking in and she was like completely disgusted by it. So I assumed that they had been dating for a while. But at the dinner table, she's sitting like next to the pediatrician almost. And then he's on the other side by like Elaine. And so I was trying to figure out, well, why are you here and why are you sitting way over there? So I get exactly what Rob is saying here.
Mm-hmm. And we see that George is wearing this very tiny t-shirt. And Akiva, in the original Seinfeld podcast, you thought this was preposterous.
What didn't I like about this?
Where'd this t-shirt come from?
Did he do a load of laundry and like intentionally shrink it? Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's wearing this very tiny shirt. I don't know where he got it from, just to make the point of shrinkage. I mean, could this be a reason why you think maybe Jane left Chappelle, where that she came to the Hamptons with this guy and he's wearing like a very tiny salmon colored t-shirt to dinner?
Yeah, he obviously grabbed this baby's shirt and just put it on and was like, look, shrinkage. But he's also trying to have this conversation at the dinner table with them. There's a lot going on. If I was Jane, I would have left too. Because if you think about it, you find out at the dinner table that he's talking about shrinkage, kind of like in code, because he's wearing a tiny, tiny shirt and that's her date. Also, it's revealed at this time that Kramer has stolen the lobsters. They're talking about it openly at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Half the people on the episode have seen her breast exposed. Mm-hmm. And so maybe she don't love that. But then, you know, Jerry's girlfriend, Rachel, is sitting directly next to her, whispering things about her boyfriend to her. Like, I walked in and saw him naked. So maybe she's just like, you know, it's time to go. It's been a lot.
Well, is it possible that isn't what Rachel told Jane at dinner? Chappelle, is it possible that Rachel told Jane that, hey, your boyfriend tried to walk in on me changing?
Possibly. That's why I said there's a lot of gray area here, because I don't even know if Rachel just says, hey, I walked in on George naked, you know, and she's like, oh, okay. Well, he tried to walk in on me first and then I accidentally walked in on him. I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's not okay. I'm going to leave. But George seems to think that she's whispering in her ear like, oh yeah, shrinkage, you know, like, you know, like the aftermath. Yeah. You know, so there's a number of reasons why she should have left, but they never are clear about what actually is shared between Rachel and Jane.
Yeah. Akiva, that I always thought it was wild that that, you know, Jane would leave over just that Rachel told her that George has shrunk.
Yeah, that's why it's more realistic. Like, hey, your boyfriend's a creep, and like maybe listed everything he did, or at least listing like, hey, I think he walked in on me. Mm-hmm. She also doesn't really like him to begin with. Like, they haven't slept together yet, and like she might just be like, hey, I want to go to the Hamptons, but I'm not feeling this. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It did seem very intent on sunbathing. You know, like in the car, she's like, I just want to get some sun. Then when George is trying to talk to her about the tomatoes, she's like, I'm going to the beach now. So maybe once she got it out of her system, you know, she spread the word a little bit. They got some buzz going. She said, oh, okay, my work has been done. Mm-hmm. So she just went in and took off.
Yeah. So ultimately, Jane is going to end up leaving. And George is trying to convince her to stay. And Akiva, I first off, that who came to get her? She drove with George.
Yeah, it's very hard to get back. I mean, a cab back to the Hamptons would be hundreds of dollars. Mm-hmm. So it's a good question. I have no idea. Unless she has other friends in the Hamptons and she's just going there. It's not super easy just to get back to the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like she conned him. Like, she had friends at the Hamptons already. And she's just like, oh, yeah, this is a free trip out there. I don't have a car. He's going. I can hang out with him for like a day, do some sunbathing. Then my real friends can come pick me up.
Wait, hold on. So do you think that she did create the buzz? She got another offer and she's out of there.
I mean, would you stay around? Like, if that is what happened, I can't blame her at this point because George seems horrible. They can't make conversation if it's not about cough syrup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if she got some buzz going, she got some other interest, then, you know, I wouldn't be mad at her if she went to explore that, especially once George's big reveal happens, or not so big reveal, depending on who you ask.
Wow. Akiva, what do you think of this alternative timeline?
Yeah, we hadn't thought of it, but like, you know, could she have gotten a better offer than George for the weekend? Very possibly.
Mm-hmm. It probably wouldn't be hard to get a better
offer. Wouldn't be hard. Mm-hmm. Knowing what she knows, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where then things, I think, get a little wonky. Rachel wants to try to eat the lobster. She wakes up in the middle of the night and she's going to go to the refrigerator. Akiva wouldn't eat a lobster for $1 billion.
Yeah. And Rachel initially turns down the lobster. She's like, oh, no, it's not kosher. I can't do it. And Kramer, the jerk that he is, like, oh, you're so pious. Like, you think you're going to get special treatment in heaven because you're not eating lobster? And I guess something he said to her might have struck a chord or something, because she then ends up sneaking into the kitchen in the middle of the night. Like, well, you know, maybe I won't get special treatment. I mean, I'm not really going to go to hell. What's going on here? Like, so it really feels like, this is a just completely manufactured, like made up scenario that almost never happens, right? Like, just like you just decide overnight, like, this will be your first taste of lobster. I just feel like if you've gone that far without eating lobster, it's just not some random decision you made.
I think it's somewhat like, I have friends who like stopped keeping kosher and then like, hey, I just like went to Wendy's last night on a whim, and that's how I stopped keeping
kosher. Just a Wendy's on like a random night. Like, if you want to break kosher, you choose a Wendy's.
That's what my friend did. Wendy's.
Oh, Wendy's. Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
No. What did he do? And what happened then? Did he come back?
He's like half and half now. Mm. He like sort of keeps kosher.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, that's a life decision, though. Keep it like, right? You don't do one time and then you're just like, okay, well, I tasted a lobster and now I'm back in the game. It's kind of like, you know, once you've broken the seal, I don't think you can close it. Mm-hmm. I mean, but Akiva, you wouldn't even try it. I mean, for $1 billion, and she's just like sneaking around. Well, someone's Akiva home does have
plenty
it.
Of money, though. You know that's.
So you're saying I don't need the billion? I'm fine. No, my life is fine.
Sounds about right. Billion.
You know,
so I'm the one who, you can't bring. You can't use me as an example. I guess
this just sounds like a life decision, and also it just gave Kramer this weird moral high ground of like, I won't let you have the lobster because I for one called you out on you being fake, really in, like, you know, like, oh, you keep kosher, you're not that much better than the rest of us, what are you doing? And now he gets to sit there and smoke his lobster pipe and like marvel at her, you know, I guess undisciplined You know, I don't know. It just seemed weird. It was just a weird turn. I don't know why they decided to do this with the story.
I don't really like this turn, especially with what's coming next, because I feel like it really like muddies like what the story is, where she's trying to eat the lobster and then they stop her from eating the lobster. And then George then tricks her to eat the lobster. And then she's mad that she ate the lobster. It's like,
you think there's more an oomph if she never like tries to eat it in the middle of the night, you think?
I mean, if you're going for, you really want George to like get one over on her, then you know she should never want to eat the lobster.
No, I think that, I think this is like a redeeming part for the story when it comes to George, because it's like, if she had never wanted to eat the lobster and she was like Akiva, like not for $1 billion, then this would be the most despicable thing that George could have ever done, right? Because it's like, not for anything in my life would I eat that lobster. And you're, and so when she showed that there was like a teeny part of her that would actually try it, it's like, okay, now it's fair game for me to play with. But like, had it been like,
but he doesn't know that.
Like, no.
He doesn't know that happened though.
The viewer Kramer knows. Told him?
Oh, maybe Kramer told him. I don't know. Maybe it's in the deleted scenes. Maybe.
I'm sure Kramer told him. I'm sure Kramer told him, because Kramer seems like he's in, he's like, for some reason, like weirdly, like obsessed with the idea that she won't eat it.
Yeah,
so, right. Yeah, I think he couldn't wait to run back and be like, hey, George, look at what she did. You know, so I'm sure he knew.
But Akiva, this is like a terrible thing that George does here to feed the lobster to the woman who is keeping kosher, even if she was going to almost break her, kosher diet on the night before.
It's still the wrong thing to do. Like it like just softens the blow for the viewer maybe, but still not great. I would be annoyed. Akiva, if someone did this to me, I would never speak to them again.
You said the same annoyed. Thing in the other podcast.
It's true.
I mean, I'm consistent, Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, and you should be when it's something like that important to you. I was going to ask, what would you do if somebody did this to you?
I also have no desire to eat lobster. Maybe because I've never eaten it, but it just looks very gross to me.
No, lobster's delicious and I miss it so much. I have a shellfish allergy now, so I can't have it anymore. But back in the day, it was my thing. Yeah, I miss it.
Rob, do you like lobster?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I actually had a lobster ravioli on Friday. I don't really like to talk about food on the podcast, but I actually I did have that and it was very good.
Wow. I miss it so much. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would risk my allergic reaction to have a piece of lobster, but I would, you know, medicate appropriately to make sure I don't die. But I do miss being able to eat shellfish freely.
So George made eggs for everybody, put lobster in the eggs. Everybody's raving about George's lobster eggs. I do feel like that, Chappelle, have you ever had lobster eggs?
No. And I was looking at the eggs very closely. It didn't look like there were chunks of lobster. It's like he did like a lobster, like broth or something. Like I did, cause it didn't look like a piece of lobster, like hanging out in the egg. It just looked like eggs that he probably cooked with like lobster in it.
Yeah. It seemed wild. You would get that reaction. If you made lobster eggs, everybody would be like, oh my God, these are so good. What's in this?
Yeah.
Like, what is you this? You would know.
Seafood. Yeah, you would taste it for sure. But everybody just seemed like, oh no, I've never had eggs prepared like this. You know?
Yeah. And then the lobster poacher or the police come, they're looking for the lobster poacher. Kramer gets busted. And everybody drives back to New York and they stop.
What a narc move by the host though. Yeah. They just points right to Kramer. That guy sucks.
Well, he probably called the police. Like, let's be clear. Like, he tells Kramer from jump he is not okay with him taking those lobsters because his dad was a lobsterman. And his which I didn't know was a thing, but apparently it is. But like, his dad was a lobsterman who basically used lobsters to build his whole like lifestyle empire. And also pay for him. Yeah, and to pay for this guy to go to law school. He's the reason why. Like the lobsters, you know, this lobsterman occupation is the reason why this man could even afford this home in the Hamptons. So it was very close to him. So, of course, he sold out Kramer. I didn't appreciate it. Yeah. But, you know, I get it.
Also, Kramer in the past has dropped this man's baby. So there that was too. Not a lot of affinity for the K-man.
Why do you invite Kramer to your home? That is the question.
I think it's just part of the package. I think they wanted Jerry and Elaine, I guess, seemingly to see the baby. And then George and Kramer were just an accessory. Because I feel like that Akiva in the original baby scene, it was just Jerry and Elaine, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I also think, like Kramer is such a wild card. He is a fun person to have for a weekend. You might not want him to like live next door always, but I feel like anything's possible when Kramer live, you know, when Kramer's in town.
Is so that a pro or a con to having him there?
Well, for that's what I'm saying. For like one day, it's a pro. For the rest of your life, it's probably a con.
Mm-hmm. No, that's probably good. I mean, on the one hand, he could drop your baby. On the other hand, he could bring lobster. Mm-hmm. You know, so something to think about. You have to weigh that pro and con. You're like, okay, we won't let him touch our new ugly baby. But if he shows up with lobster, it's a net positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. They all drive home from the Hamptons. They stop at the tomato stand and they see, who is it? Who's there? Is that Rachel?
It's Rachel.
She drove back with the couple whose house it was.
Yeah. I don't know how, like Rachel decided to not ride back with them. And they were saying like, oh, well, if I, Elaine says to George, well, if you saw me naked or if I saw you naked, I wouldn't want to ride in a car with you either. And I'm thinking, or if you snuck lobster into my breakfast after I told you I didn't ever want to eat it and wouldn't eat it for $1 billion, I wouldn't want to be anywhere very near fair. You.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So she's hanging out at the Hampton tomato stand.
She hit him in the face with the tomato. Akiva, in the next episode, Rachel is still dating Jerry. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Rachel's still dating Jerry. And then she just decides in the middle of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
That she's not into it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't she still be dating Jerry? Jerry didn't do anything to her.
Yeah, but these are your friends.
I mean, that's fair. But I mean, you know, George sucks. But if Jerry has to never date anybody because he's never going to stop being friends with George, then he's just going to die alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that probably is what ultimately happens. But yes.
Well, is that what ultimately happens?
That he dies alone? I don't know. You got to watch. You got to watch the 180 to find out.
My gosh, I'm not doing that. So no, seriously, throughout the series, George and Jerry just stay friends despite all of this crap.
Yes.
Okay. Because they don't know they're the bad guys. They think they're the good guys.
How?
Mm-hmm.
How everyone is the hero of their own story.
Akiva, if one of my friends put lobster in your food and from what you and I have never met in person, I would have to unfriend that person. That would not be my friend anymore.
Wow. Chappelle, you'd be like, I mean, I appreciate you having my back in this fake situation. But a lot of people would be like, you know what? That's just James being James.
No, you know? No. Akiva, I know how strongly you feel about this. And it's a religious belief. I could not be their friend anymore, especially if they knew how strongly you felt about it. If they were oblivious, right? And just thought like, oh, I put lobster in your food. Then, I mean, whatever. Mm-hmm. Akiva, I'm sorry you didn't express to them your you know, dietary restrictions. But like, if you knew about it and we had open conversation about it, then no, I have to unfriend you. I'm sorry.
Well, you're a good friend. You're a good friend then.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to poison you.
No, essentially poison you. That's exactly what it looks like to me from my perspective. Yeah.
We hate James.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Always hate James.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah. Okay. And that's the Hamptons.
Mm.
That was fun. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
That's a top 10 Seinfeld episode to me.
10? Hold on. Because I think, like, and y'all have seen more episodes than me, but I think that marine biologist episode was better than this one.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny. Rob didn't, when we watched the marine biologist, the ending to the marine biologist is as good of ending as basically any episode in TV history, like the last couple of minutes. But Rob did not,
I think you're right.
I think Rob did not love, if I remember correctly, Rob did not love the marine biologist.
Yeah, I think what I had said was that I felt like that most of the episode is just fine. And then it's an all time. It's not like that. I felt like that episode was like a laugh riot. This I almost feel like is the opposite. I feel like that I really don't like how they end any of this.
Yeah, very bad ending to
the Hamptons. And I feel like
6 years ago, I'm sure,
you know, there's a lot more like, you know, meat on the bone here during the middle of the episode.
Oh, gotcha. See, my thing was, I thought the slow build of the last episodes were what made it good, because I couldn't figure out where all the pieces lined up. You know, like for the whole entire episode, I don't even understand why Kramer is, you know, hitting the golf balls or what that even means. And then for the big reveal, I said, oh, okay, cool. And then I literally put in my notes, if every episode of Seinfeld is like this, I would like this show a lot. Well, so then when I watched this episode, I was thinking, well, this is fine.
Yeah. With the marine biologist, I think it sort of gets the credit for being the episode where they sort of like said, oh, what if we figured out a way to tie in everybody's story that's happening to each of them into one big thing? And where instead of like, this is happening to Elaine and this is happening to George, what if we found a way to tie up all of the stories in one episode?
Gotcha. See, I was under the impression that all of their storylines are intertwined because, like I said, it's been years since I've watched the first, you know, whatever season. And so I thought every episode was like this, especially once we saw the Hampton episode. And I was like, oh, well, they're all there. They must all, you know, they must have such a tight knit circle that everybody is intertwined. I didn't know that was an anomaly. Oh, okay, cool.
Right. Akiva, am I right about that?
Yes. Yeah, you are right. And yeah, I think, yeah, this episode has a weak ending, but there's a lot going on. And also, like, we're judging in 2021. Like, a lot of the things now, it's like, all right, I've seen that before. It's like, yeah, but it was invented sort of by the show in this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Because I think this storyline evolves, right? It's so this time it was, I saw your significant other naked, so I need to see yours. So you need to let me see your significant other naked or whatever. But I think that storyline evolves into, like, you saw me naked, so I need to see you naked. Isn't that the new girl episode, Akiva? Isn't that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Those yeah. Whereas, yes. I mean, you spoil season one of the new girl.
Yeah, no, that already. Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that's the new girl episode where one roommate sees somebody naked. So now I have to see you. Now you have to see me naked to kind of reverse the curse.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a better storyline than this. As far as the nakedness, still some issues with that, but that's still better than this.
You shouldn't be allowed to give away other people's nakedness.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not for you to give.
Makes sense.
Akiva, I did try to convince Rob to go topless on a podcast a few weeks ago. Rob, do you remember?
Yes.
Which podcast? Can't do it on Twitch, I think, right?
No,
on Twitch, you got to keep your shirt on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I tried to get him to go live on YouTube during the Big Brother podcast and show off his taco meat, Akiva.
And he wasn't, I'm shocked. He wasn't having it.
He sounded like he was interested, but we weren't able to sway him in the moment. So
yeah, I think I'm always trying to create a buzz myself, but I think that probably that's not the good kind of buzz.
All right. What if Akiva and I agreed to show you our taco meat, then you would show us your taco meat. Mm-hmm. Like, we could just have a taco meat fest.
Who is this for?
Yeah. Why does Rob want
to
see us?
Why don't we just go to the beach? Yeah.
Oh, let's go to the beach. I'm going to go topless. I just let you know.
Okay. So what are we doing? The podcaster meetup is in the Hamptons?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The next live event.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Podcaster meetup in the Hamptons. We probably can only afford to do it though in January.
Right. Oh,
okay. Okay. So, something to think about.
Yeah.
Something to think about. People have to alert me before they fornicate. That is part of the rules as well.
Part of the rules. Basically. Yes.
For this conversation.
Well, send them your courtesy house. Text. Yeah.
Well, every house spells in is his house.
Yeah. Okay. I said, text me or tweet me, even if you're just going to be at a random house.
A full regular tweet, like a DM or just.
No, just something cryptic, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Is there a code word?
I think we could come up with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Rocky Road ice cream.
Is that really where you want to go?
Rocky Road ice cream.
I don't think so.
I mean,
I don't think you
want to involve dairy.
Yeah. Well, I'm not an ice cream eater. So that actually would be a good code word because no one's talking to me about ice cream. I don't eat ice cream. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you against ice cream or is stomach thing?
Anti ice cream. No, I don't really do.
You just think ice cream's gross? Oh, all dairy. Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm not a big cream person.
Okay.
Yeah. Something ice cream, whipped cream, sour cream is not for me.
If it's cream, you're out. All right.
Yogurt.
What about plain yogurt?
Oh, especially plain yogurt.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Yeah.
It's going to be awkward at the podcaster meetup when Taryn has a huge
just has a full fridge of plain yogurt.
Funny of y'all thinking Taryn's going to come.
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Y'all are so cute. That's so precious.
Akiva, is there anything else about Seinfeld that you think it would be fun to let Chappelle know about?
No, it was pretty funny. We watched different episodes, but I think we covered the episode that made more sense to talk about anyway. I liked hearing Chappelle's takes. I think they were fresh, original takes. I would like to maybe send him a few more episodes, see what he thinks. Maybe we get some live tweets from Chappelle.
I told Chester,
I think because if we get him to some and then we get it doesn't have to be all 180, but even if we get him to watch a few classics to prep him and then have him watch the finale, I think you'd like it.
Yeah.
I think he'd be into it.
Chappelle, what did you prefer, Seinfeld or Curb?
I don't know if I have a preference. Like both of them were fine. You know, like I could see myself, like I said, I really enjoyed the episode that I watched of Seinfeld, and the episode I watched of Curb, it just seemed absurd. And so I was like, well, there has to be more absurdity. And, you know, that's one of my love language. So I was like, okay, well, I'll watch more of that. I haven't yet, but I do intend on it. And so, yeah, I could see myself watching more episodes of both. So I
think you like Curb. I do think you like Curb a lot. Chappelle.
It seemed very funny. It was just absurd. And so I was like, well, if there's more of this, I'll check it out. Because I think that episode is like 3 or 4 seasons in as well. So I had missed all the, you know, the, I guess, random buildup to, I guess, that part of the series. So I jumped in right where it was, I guess, where it was hot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chappelle, do you have any other Seinfeld questions?
I probably do, honestly. Let me go look at my notes here. We didn't really talk about the Elaine storyline with the pediatrician and how he said that she was breathtaking, because he also said that about the baby. And then he ultimately tells her that's just him being nice. But when she thought he was into her, her way of hitting on him was saying that she really, really wants to have a baby soon. And I just don't know if that, if that appeals to me at all, like, like I really want to have a baby right now. It's like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Dr. Pepper or whatever his name was.
Yeah. I think that she assumed that because he works with babies, he must really like babies and want one. But I feel like a lot of times people don't want what they do at work in their personal life.
I mean, she was just like, to say you want a baby that aggressively is also saying you want to like promote like a very aggressive sexual act at the same time. It's like, well, ma'am, you just met this guy. Maybe don't tell him that you want to be impregnated. That's because that's what I was getting from the moment. Like, oh, you really want to get impregnated by me right now? I just met you, lady. I just met you. Yeah. But aside from that, I mean, I didn't have a lot of questions about Elaine. Did she get a lot more content in the other episodes?
Or is
she
always kind of like...
Yeah. She's definitely an equal member to the core force. At plenty of time, she's number two overall.
So is this a show where the most the titular character is like the least entertaining? Like, is Jerry just like the straight guy?
Yes and no. He's like a lot like them, but it's not like trying to think of another show to compare it to. They're not all equals necessarily, but they all have their own storylines every episode.
All right, cool. On next on my question list, what is the Schindler's List makeout section?
Oh, okay.
Jerry. Yes,
we last saw Rachel.
Yeah.
When they were, they went to Schindler's List and they were making out in the middle of the movie and her parents caught them.
I think
what was going on, I believe that Jerry's parents were staying with him for a couple of weeks and he had been seeing this woman. And I think she might have also lived with her parents. So that they had like reached a point in their relationship where there was a lot of sexual tension and they were alone in the movie theater. And then they ended up having this makeout session, which happened to be during Schindler's List. And they were spotted by Newman, who then was going to rat them out.
Oh, yeah,
and her father is a rabbi. Was that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, maybe Akiva was right. Maybe Schindler's List is too long. Maybe
it was a little shorter.
You once said that.
Yeah.
Rob called you out on it.
Yeah, you said no movie should be over 3 hours.
Oh, that's a good point. I did say that.
Yeah. Rob came out the gate with that one. Like, oh, Schindler's List should be shorter. And I guess if you asked Jerry,
I forgot about that. Maybe. He really painted me into a corner on that with that argument.
Yeah. Never forget.
Yeah. But you said, was that this podcast or the other podcast? You said you've never seen it.
I think on Renap, I said I've seen probably all of it, but not like in a one full swoop.
Yes. No, I'm you know what it was? I asked you in the Seinfeld podcast that if you and your wife had a would you make out during Schindler's List? You said that you and your wife had both never seen it.
I think that's probably correct.
Yes.
That's what happens when you hit the shuffle button on Netflix. That's when you hit the random button and you end up Netflix.
It never comes up on random. I'm still waiting for it.
Netflix and Schindler. Yeah. That's what they call it.
All right. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Schindler and Chill.
No.
Is that what it is?
No. Okay.
Okay.
Chappelle. Yeah.
Oh, what's up, Rob? No, I was going to say, you know, with this being the introduction to the Netflix, should we be leaving them with parting words, the listeners, about why they should go in and check out these 180 episodes? Like, this is our big chance to promote the content we're talking about.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's the best show in television history. Everyone should watch it. It's amazing. It's a laugh a minute. And people are going back and binging Friends in The Office, and this is much better. So they'll like it.
Okay, cool. I like The Office, and I saw Friends. So, yeah, that's a good endorsement, because I think I could like this more than Friends. I could see myself liking this more than Friends.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Chappelle, I feel like this was a great first time out for Nothing But Netflix. And we want to know from the listeners, where are we going to go next? What's hot on Netflix? We'll keep an eye on it. Mm-hmm. And then we'll come back with another Nothing But Netflix. We'll have a podcast feed next time out.
Ooh. And Rob, since this is a Renap spinoff in a way, you know, this is a baby of Renap. And I am the Renap love child, if you will.
Yeah. You're half Rowan. Rob, half Akiva. You're like
Rowan
the Rob
in some circles.
Yeah.
Rowan in some circles. So what if we ask the listeners to help us build this podcast? Like, what segments do they want us to talk about on Netflix and Chill, you know, or Nothing But Netflix and Chill and Schindler? You know, like what should we be doing every week? You know, so maybe get some suggestions going for that. Not just what shows are we talking to, but, you know, what would they like us to do? I always like the IMDb bags or whatever y'all call it. That's always fun. And so, yeah, maybe they want to hear something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it'll take a little bit to like find exactly what we want to do. Because I think sometimes we'll watch a movie, and sometimes we're watching like the first episode of a series, and sometimes we're, you know, it's all sorts of different content. So I think it might be a little bit different from week to week. But looking forward to figuring out like what all of the Nothing But Netflix tropes are going to be.
Yeah, like, can we spoil a show? What if there's a show so old?
You can spoil
it.
That's
what I'm saying.
Why not? I mean,
we just spoiled Seinfeld, basically.
But nobody spoiled the end of Seinfeld to Chappelle. Let him find that on his own.
Yeah.
See, now I'm nervous. Like, I don't know what to think now. But no, yeah, like, if it's like a 20-year-old show, like, what's the limit on how far back we can go to spoil a show? Because I had no
idea. I mean, if we're
going to
talk about a movie, we're going to like, hey, we're spoiling it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Don't be so worried about
spoilers. We're in the podcast. Like, I think people get mad if you like spoil something like it's like the middle of the Survivor podcast and you spoil like a movie that just came out. Like, I think then you're like, oh, you ruined it. But if we're talking
if
about
the
movie.
If you click on a podcast that says like Sleepless in Seattle, you are like willingly consenting to being spoiled on the film Sleepless in Seattle.
That's true. I just know we did just random episodes. I'm sure we'll do some premieres. But what if we were talking about How I Met Your Mother and we just wanted to talk about the finale so I could complain?
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, I think that's fair game.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
Netflix if you're talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, the rules. If people want to start working on our constitution, too, that can be something we can work on.
But we want to look at also, like, you know, what's the Netflix top 10. Mm-hmm. We want to look at what's trending.
And what's new.
I mean, I think, and then if there's nothing exciting in those categories, which is like, it's impossible, then we will then we've got the whole back catalog.
Yeah, sounds good. I like that.
That's nothing but Netflix.
Yeah.
Seinfeld number 7 on Netflix, the 7.
Yeah.
That's not great. They should have started at like 2. One more thing. This is for, you know, one of the talented listeners, maybe Will from America out there. I like you guys need a theme song.
Yeah.
I'm not musical. I have this idea in my head and it's just like a song where it's fast paced and, you know, the singer saying like just the names of a million different Netflix shows like Sex Education, Russian Doll, Emily in Paris, Stranger Things, like a million different things.
Like a We Didn't Start the Fire of Netflix songs?
Like a million Netflix, the name
but
of
sometimes
like shows.
Sometimes things leave Netflix.
Yeah, but it's like the Netflix originals, I think. So you're safe. And then it's like Nothing But Netflix.
Okay.
And we'll take that into consideration.
we'll let our musical.
Will, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you and Will have a connection. I'm sure he's picking it up what you're putting down.
I wish I had like musical ability, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that's a good idea. A theme song would be nice because this is, as far as I'm concerned, the official spinoff of Renap.
Mm-hmm. The official.
There have been other spinoffs of Renap, but I would like to. Yeah, this is the official one. It was born on Renap. Yeah, Akiva basically named it on Renap. I'm the Renap love child. I'm Rowan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Akiva, are you okay with that?
Love it. Love it. I'm very excited for you guys. I'm excited to be along for this journey every week. Honored to come on the first episode and, you know, psyched to see what you guys have to, you know, what you guys are going to do in the future.
Okay. Akiva, what's coming up for you?
Well, we're going to record an episode of Robin Akiva New Podcast.
I know. In a few hours. I'm doing like my Akiva double stuff Akiva back today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got Taskmaster coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We did NGOG this week. We did accidentally lose the last half hour of the episode, but hopefully it wasn't the important half hour. Talking football and 32 fans and the 32 fans Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
About it.
Okay. And Chappelle, what else do you have going on?
I'm, of course, every week talking about The Walking Dead on post-show recaps.
Yes.
So that's always fun. I think The Walking Dead proper, we're about to do like one of those like mid-season finale type things coming up for that. Mm-hmm. But The Walking Dead, The World Beyond is about to start. So no shortage of Walking Dead content with that. And then a couple weeks from now, Fear the Walking Dead will be back. So I'll be talking about zombies and Walking Dead with AJ Mass and Josh Wigler and Jessica Lease for, it seems like forever. And, you know, from now until the end of time. Mm-hmm. So that's always fun.
Yeah. This is the part one of the final season, right?
Yeah, but it's like part one of three parts.
Oh, my God.
So it's not. Oh, yeah. Man. So this will be another
year. You know, that's just a way that they get around paying people more money, right? When they split mm-hmm. up parts of the season.
Exactly.
Because they get raises and stuff in their new season. So they just like, it's like a union busting thing, basically.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to do that for the next year, it seems. As well as the two Walking Dead spinoffs. So that'll be fun. And then Sasha Joseph and I are over on Silent Podcast, still talking about Never Have I Ever. We're about to record the finale soon with Karen from Canada. So that's going to be very fun as well. Yes, the season one finale of Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast, which it's a Netflix show, Rob. And so hopefully people will check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then
if people love Netflix, they're listening to this podcast. So why not check it out?
Yeah, check out Never Ever Ever. I love that show. And then there's probably something else I'm missing. What else am I missing, Rob? What else I got? I think that's it. Are we good here?
Yeah.
I think we're good here. Yeah, I think that catches us. Oh, I'm recording with the Real Weird Sisters this weekend as well.
Wow.
I'm going back into my Harry Potter bag, and I'm going to be helping Alice and Martha sort the Big Brother contestants from Big Brother 23
yes.
and put them in their Hogwarts houses. Okay. So we'll be talking about the cookout. Very yes. quickly, okay. very soon, yeah.
Chappelle, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You're going to take this the right way, I'm sure.
Of course.
Have you ever said no to a podcast?
I'm thinking. Like, for scheduling purposes, yes.
Uh-huh.
But, like, no, I don't think anybody's ever asked me to come on a podcast, and I just flat out was like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. You know how many more requests you're going to get now?
Yeah, thank you, Akiva. But no, I will talk to people. I mean, as long as their content is something that I can relate to, you know, or mm-hmm, something mm-hmm. that I feel strongly about, or maybe it's even just something that I know is not going to get me in any trouble, then yeah, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But like, don't come at me with like, you know, anything nefarious, because mm-hmm. I don't want to be tied to that. But for the most part, no, I'm open to talk to people, and I'm hoping more people invite me. You know, I've never been on NGOG.
Yeah, but you're scheduled.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a long time. I could have come in for like a preliminary one.
Probably true. Mm-hmm. Probably true.
Mm-hmm. Probably true. But whatever. That's
just ask Allie. She'll kick me out. She'll put you on it.
That's true. That is true. I mm-hmm. love the lash. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I don't typically say no, but I really do like the Real Weird Sisters a lot. And so I'm very happy that they invited me. So this will be fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to the debut of Nothing But Netflix. We will be back next time with some conversation about another Netflix joint. Can we say that?
Yeah, let's call it a Netflix joint.
Yeah. And tell us what Netflix joint do you want us to cover next week? I'm at Rob Sestrino. Of course, Chappelle is Chappelle's _ show on Twitter.
Hey, still? Work on that, guys. Yeah. You have hundreds of episodes to fix that.
Well, Akiva, I threw this out to Rob a long time ago, and I think we mm-hmm. even talked about it on RHAP Rewind. Yeah. I was thinking about changing my Twitter name. We know Rob is not he doesn't like my Twitter name.
We don't like underscores. We're anti-underscore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This might be more like all business show. Like maybe you come on an app and we'll have like a bracket of suggestions or something.
All right.
Switch your name.
Mm-hmm.
Pencil me in for bracket season next March.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Here.
Cool.
Here, can I do something? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Why did they come up with the underscore? Is there a regular score? Why does it have to be under? Can I have an overscore? And why is that accepted in a Twitter handle? And can I have a Twitter name with more than four characters? Yeah. I feel like you could basically say anything with the Seinfeld music.
It's true. If it's not funny, it just seems like you're doing like a hack impression on purpose.
I just hear B movie every time I hear him talk. Like as someone who
Jerry from B movie, just like you know Newman. Seinfeld.
Yeah. No, I know Newman from Space Jam. Yes, but yes. I know Jerry from Seinfeld. It's just that he didn't like his role really sticks out to me in B movie. That's a very like. I can just picture the bee saying the things that he's saying.
Could I cue up the music? Could you do one? Do you want to talk about about the actual show Seinfeld?
Yeah, I can. Okay. I think all I right. can
here,
do it.
Here we go.
Why aren't these people in jail? Why haven't they been arrested? They're clearly criminals. All of them. Every last one of them. Horrible people. I just feel like they should all be in jail. Is this Orange Is the New Black? Or is this Seinfeld? What are we watching? How did this get 108 episodes? I'd rather watch Oz.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.